Everybody, welcome to part two of the Andy and Mike meet Koto Shukiku story.
Yeah,
it's working title in progress.
Yeah, I didn't know if this was gonna take two episodes to do, but there's just so much to tell. So
yeah, and you know, very long winded with our stories.
That's so true.
All right. Drinking some water here, getting ready to go. All right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we finished up the first part of this. We had just finished day one.
Yep. So that was
the sumo museum, mm-hmm. and hitting up the sumo shop where sumo wrestlers purchase their zabatons, essentially. Mm-hmm. So we go back to the hotel. And again, we're allowed to do whatever we want in Tokyo. We pop over to Akihabara, like you do, pretty much turn in for the night. Because yeah, again, as Andy was saying in the last episode, it's exhausting, mm-hmm. Just being on camera all day. Turns out, especially when you're not used to it.
Yep.
So, we wake up the next day and. Where did we go in the morning on that day? I don't know why that's escaping me.
And I don't remember because we ended up going to the steakhouse, but I know that's too early to have gone.
Mm-hmm.
We might have gone earlier because when we went there, it was empty. So it's possible that we did go pretty. And we might have also had a late morning start because we didn't. I think we were actually able to sleep in that day. Like we probably met them in the lobby at like 8 o'clock. Yeah. Something like that, if I remember right. So we might have just done some like early filming of just like, you know, they went outside, they were showing some random shots. They, I think they were doing like, they were doing pans of the Kokugikan. They were doing, so they might have been doing some of the stuff like just like some background filming.
Yeah.
Because they asked us like if we had breakfast and all that. They, because, we ate breakfast too. We ate down the lobby of the hotel. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we hung out. I think most of the beginning of that day was just kind of like chatting with them.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, doing some like just random shots of things. But we do end up at the steakhouse across the street from the Kokugikan.
Yeah, which is apparently a very well-established, well-visited, like, they go there after tournaments to go eat kind of place. So us being there was awesome.
Yeah, and we walk in, and immediately across the top, they have the autographs of all the wrestlers who have eaten there.
Mm-hmm.
Andy picks out Koto Shikiku's from the line.
Yeah, there was probably a couple dozen different... signatures. I had the name and it escapes me. It's signatures, but they also had, I think they had the handprints.
Yeah, too, it was the handprints.
I hate it because I know the name of it and it's escaping me right now. I'll remember it in like a half an hour.
We'll be deep into another conversation.
Exactly, and it'll just pop in. But yeah, so they had all the signatures and they were like, "Oh, which one do you think is Koto Shikiku?" And I'm like, we're like scanning them, and I'm like, "Oh, I know which one it is." And I point to it, and I mean, to be fair, his sticker was on it.
It's true. Yeah.
Because all the signatures, they're like really, really quick, and sometimes they're very light, so it's hard to read the kanji for the name. So like I semi-recognized it, and I like looked at the photo and was like, oh yeah, Derek, of course. Yeah, like it was like right in front of us. They had to ask us like two or three times, like, where is it? Is super obvious.
That happened the entire trip, though. You're so much better at that stuff than I was. Like, there was like three times I looked like an idiot because I'm like, it's right in front of me and I should know the answer to this, and like they're hinting at it so much. But you saved the day again.
But I was like, yep, so there it is. And they were like, and we were like, oh, this is awesome. Like, we're in like the same place that he goes. This is cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it's awesome to be here.
So yeah, we get in there and we start this is when the trickery starts. Do you want to kind of describe how we went we got seated and things like that?
Yeah, so we go to this restaurant, and I don't know if this is the case with all Rikishi, but apparently Koto Shikiku and his wife have a particular table that they go to. It's just where they, whenever they go there, that's where they eat. And so they brought us to this, you walk in, it's a very narrow path. They have like the grills on the left side. You can see them cooking delicious steak. Oh man, we won't even get too far into that. But you walk down, and in the back left corner is where Kotoshikiku and his wife go to sit. And that's where they eat. So they come over and they're like, oh, like this is the table that they eat at. And, you know, we want you guys to sit down. So we both get a chance to sit in Kotoshikiku's seat. Mm-hmm. And you go down first. And I think you say something along the lines of like, you're already feeling like a champion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, so like I sit down, I have the same kind of reaction. Like you see it on my face. I'm like, this is awesome. Like this is and, like the view is beautiful. Like looks out the window and you can kind of see, yeah. Outside into the Tokyo and, yeah. So like we're sitting there and like the entire time they're kind of being suspicious.
Yeah,
like they're
like looking they were back at the so weird.
They were being like sneaky. Like I don't know if they were just like waiting for the meat to come in and they were like telling like the chef to like hold off or whatever. But they kept looking down the hallway where I was like, oh, if Kotoshikiku shows up, this is gonna be it. Like this is the time.
Yeah, like it crossed my because yeah. Again, we forgot to mention this actually in episode one. It's like we, you know, they were like, what would be the dream? You know, like while here. What would be the dream? And we both said, you know, it'd be amazing to meet Kotoshikiku.
Or even like see him again in person. Yeah. It was like at a basho or something. But yeah, I forgot that. Yeah, it was one of the questions they had asked us at the airport.
And then they were like, oh, well, you know, sumo wrestlers are very busy. You probably won't see him. Yeah. And then we were totally like, bullshit.
Well, because January, because we went in February, it's an off month. Mm-hmm. So typically they're either like, they're you know, training, they're, you know, maybe back home. So like, obviously he's from Fukuoka. So maybe he traveled back to Fukuoka in February to go be with family. Mm-hmm. So like, we weren't expecting him, but when we were in that restaurant, I was like, this is it. Like,
he's gonna it's going to happen. Cause yeah, like our translator kept disappearing.
Yep.
Like they were, and I think they were doing it on purpose to make us like think possibly. It was going to happen. I mean, I felt like it. Cause this totally got me.
Yeah. This was the first time where I actually legitimately thought there was a shot that Kotoshikiku could walk in. Like it was like lunchtime, maybe, you know, he's hungry, he wants to eat with us, that would be cool. And he didn't show up.
Yeah, so yeah, we film a lot of there's just a lot of Q&A stuff like how we first got into sumo, how long we've been watching, what we like about Kotoshikiku.
And then again, the episode, they also asked about like our relationship too. So yeah. we originally, one of the requests that they had prior to us coming was we sent over pictures of us from when we were a kid. Mm. So like in the episode, they like aired that while we're talking. Like, I almost feel like this was like the turning point of the episode where like something was kind of building. They were starting to kind of put the picture together of like these two brothers and like how sumo was like something that brought us together. Not that we weren't like,
yeah, like
close, but we have an age gap where,
yeah, we're 8 years apart. So
yeah, so like it's growing up, it was like you hanging out with your teenage kids, like your teenage friends, and I'm like an 8-year-old annoying little brother.
Yeah,
but like sumo was like brought us together when we both got older.
Yeah, yeah.
So like the whole story was like two brothers united by sumo, like
because everything is epic. You know?
Yes, like, yes. It was a little over the top, but it was a nice.
It was actually nicely done. I was kind of like, because I think when we were there too, they were like really hammering home the
you guys are brothers,
and like this and this, and they kept telling us over and over and over again to like bring it up, and I was like, it's
almost not natural for us to talk that much about us being brothers because we don't have to do that. Like we hang out with the same group of friends, so it's like, oh, everyone knows that we're brothers. It's second nature.
In retrospect, I understand why they did it, because they were going to use like 30 seconds of it.
Yeah,
like they were going to pick out the 30 seconds of it that felt natural, and the 30 seconds of it that felt natural was in that restaurant.
Yes,
like it was more like 2 minutes probably in grand total. Mm-hmm. But like it was definitely tastefully done, I'll say.
The whole entire thing was well done. The entire, you know, 15-minute episode was very well done.
Yeah.
Like they used good shots. Everything was very meaningful, had a purpose. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. So we eat a delicious steak dinner. It was, and I say in the episode, I believe the best steak I've ever had.
Yep.
And I will stand by that. It was amazing.
Yep. And that was actually the same meal that he orders. So he gets a, it was a salad, that steak and clams, right? Or was it mussels? It was
mussels,
it was,
or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Also really, really good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, so we got a chance to, like, I think we both got it. And I remember the chef came out and he was like, oh, like how much? And he was telling us like how big of a cut that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was like, boom, like I put down 12 ounces or whatever. I forget what the
actual was.
Well, yeah. And then you were like, well, I'm the older brother. I have to make sure that I like get a little bit more. So you like 16 ounces or something like that. And it was like those steaks were huge.
Oh man. But the awkward part that happened in that restaurant though, which is still funny, was when they had us like watch them cook the steaks.
Yeah.
This wasn't in the episode, but like they just had us like stand behind the glass where the grill was.
And just stare at the steak. It's like, yep, flip that steak.
It was they were gonna use it for like B roll footage, obviously. Yes. But it was just like
I wonder if things that we haven't talked about yet didn't happen, if more of this footage would have been in there. Like some of this B-roll stuff that they were filming, because like things that happened, I don't think was on their agenda.
Yeah.
So that was more of the episode of what we haven't talked about yet versus what we already have, where they didn't use any of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, like it was awesome because like, even like the way they were cooking the steak was very, very Eastern. It was like, it wasn't like, I don't feel like it was like an American way to cook a steak. Like the spices they were using, the method of cooking it was like everything was very, like, I can see why this is a very popular restaurant to go to.
Yeah. So again, super good food. Have a couple of beers and, have steak, do a little post dinner interview stuff. And then, it's get ready for the morning.
Yep. So that had to be like, that was probably sometime like early afternoon because we were there for a couple hours, I think, again. And then we had most of that day to go back and kind of do whatever we wanted to do.
Right.
Which we did like Akihabara, and we, you know, did the other touristy things that we pretty much did the first trip, but wanted to do it again because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. now I'm thinking about it. I feel kind of silly for not mentioning the fact that we were never brought to Japan under the guise of meeting Kota Shokiku.
Correct. Yes.
Like I said,
we did mention that they were doing an end of the year wrap up and they wanted us to be part of it because.
Yeah.
Why else? I guess, you know, two American guys who came to watch sumo, it would have been a cool story.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had there was no like, hey, you're going to meet him or anything.
So we have dinner. And then, so the next day we're supposed to go to the university.
Mm-hmm. This was early too. They were like, super early.
They were
get up at 5:30, I think.
Yeah. I think we were up at 5:30, had a quick breakfast and then got in a van.
Yeah. So I think this is when, And we talked to our translator about this after the whole thing was shot, where this is where I was like kind of concerned that I don't want to say we wouldn't make it back to the States, but they just put us in a van with almost tinted out windows. And I was like, I don't know where we're going. And that was the point, is like, they were like, oh, we're taking you to like a college. And we're like, oh boy.
Yeah, like if we ended up somewhere, like I couldn't call somebody and be like, help me, I'm here.
We left like the density of Tokyo, because we were still within the like outside of Tokyo, so we were still within the realm of it, but it was like we were outside the city of Tokyo, where we were more in like the prefectures of Tokyo, where we're like,
we drove probably about 25, 30 minutes, maybe
more. I thought
it
was like longer than that.
Yeah, it might have been more than that.
Because we stopped at a gas station and we went into the convenience store and we got food. And then I took a picture of the license plate. Like, and I was like super paranoid because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen.
I didn't know you took a picture.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a picture of us like of the van and where we were. And like, yeah, I was like,
oh man, this was just naive Mike just rolling along here with whatever we were doing.
I mean that's kind of how the whole trip was. We're like, yeah, no, we're just gonna trust you guys, like
blindly trust these people in Japan. But it was in my mind,
it was harmless,
at that point.
Yes.
It was totally legit.
Yeah.
I mean that would be a hell of a escapade to pull, to kidnap two random Americans.
Yeah,
it's not like we're like, you know, princes or something. It's just,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah, they would be like, yeah. But
sorry, I spent all my money coming here last time. I don't have anything left for you.
Yeah. But it was just like, we just got in this van. The windows were all blocked except for the front. That's all we saw. And like, we weren't familiar. They didn't tell us where we were going. It was just that we were going to a college.
Yeah. So We drive for a while. We stop at a gas station.
Yep.
On the halfway mark ish, grab some food and some drink, and continue there. We park in a random parking lot at the back of what looks like an apartment building.
Yep.
And we start walking towards the building. So this ends up being the Sadagatake stable. But we approached it from the side.
Yeah, so we came. Yeah, we essentially came in the rear because I'm familiar with how the gate looks in the front, and I, so like I would have recognized it if we came through the front, but yeah, they brought us in like the back driveway where we had to like back the van up the hill, and those were very narrow and everything. So we were like, I don't know what we're doing. So I was like, oh, this is cool. We're going into like see college practice right now, and I was stoked to see that. Just in itself.
Yeah, I was excited to see practice. It's awesome. Like, at this point, after the dinner, I was like, "There's no way we're seeing
I was like, also like, if that was
going to happen, it was going to happen that night.
Yeah, if their goal was to get us super excited and then let down at that restaurant, they nailed it. Like, I was so excited at that restaurant that we were going to meet them, and then when we didn't, I was like, "There's no chance."
Yeah,
it's like why would? And then I think also on the itinerary was also like we were going to go to an onsen. Because they had asked us about tattoos too ahead of time.
Yeah.
If we had any tattoos and if we had to cover them up and blah, blah, blah. So like we thought we were going to like go watch college practice and then like, you know, go hang out at like an onsen and like, I don't know, some hotel top of the floor or something.
Yeah. Just hang out sumo dudes or something. But yeah, so we're walking in and you know, they start asking like if we know where we are.
Yeah. And neither like, of us know it.
I'm not sure. Andy's not sure. Nope. We roll in and, you know, it's a sumo stable.
Yeah.
It's what I would have pictured having not known much about one.
I still kind of thought it was still like a college practice though. Like I didn't, it didn't fully hit me until so obviously we went in and we took off our shoes. We got in the stairs and we walked in. It was just like hundreds of pounds of rice. Just like, I was like, this feels more than just like a college place.
It looks really professional.
It did. Yes, exactly. It was very, very neat, very clean, very professional. Like everything looked top, like tip top shape. And then when we got in, we're like,
it's also worth noting too, that there were way more camera people with us that day too.
Yes.
So there was something up, like we could kind of tell there was something going on because there was like a new camera guy we'd never met before. A couple other randos that were following in the car behind us. So there were definitely more people involved in the filming.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we roll in. It's very professional, and we kind of sit down. It's like it's just a sumo practice going on. I've seen videos on YouTube and stuff of people filming it, so I knew pretty much what we were looking at there.
Yeah, and I kind of glanced up because they have all their names on the panels, and like I kind of start to.
Together, whispered like, over to me that
like I felt like something seemed familiar to me because like neither of us really know how to read kanji, but like I recognize Kodo Shigiku as kanji, so I was like I felt like I saw something, but I was like it can't be like I'm like my brain's showing me one thing because I'm excited that I'm just like watching practice. It's so, like we still had no idea what was going on. But yeah, so like part of us being there, they were like, okay, you guys have to be quiet. Like they're practicing, you know, it's a spiritual building too. So it's like, be respectful. And we're like, oh, of course. Yeah, we'll like do it. And we still are mic'd up, which I'm surprised they picked up any of our audio because we were like super whispering.
Yeah, we were pretty quiet. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're like kind of whispering. And they asked us when we went in, it's like kind of like whisper back and forth and talk a little bit, but like. Mm-hmm. Be respectful, obviously.
Yeah, because like everyone there looks very professional and things are happening and we don't want to be rude.
And like while we were watching, I was legit excited about some of like there's some good moves going on in there. And like
I wish I knew who it was, but there was I don't know who it was. I wonder if it might have been like Kodo Nowaka or somebody or someone who's present day up there, but there was one person who was just running the game.
Yeah, I remember
like just
that,
like constantly winning, next guy up mentality. Like we went in there, we were kind of surprised by that, like you know, one person loses and then everyone runs in to be the next opponent, like an honor thing. And I was like, whoa, that's awesome. And there was like one kid who was just like fight after fight after fight. He had like a 12 match streak. Yeah. He lost one and then went in again and then went on like an 8 match streak again. I was like, yeah. I don't know who this was. I wish I knew who it was.
Yeah, we were watching for a while. Like
probably like maybe a half an hour or 45 minutes of watching it, which was I loved.
Yeah, that was like
we could have been there all cool. day and watched it.
Yeah. So you know, and we kind of talked about this before, like while we were in there, it kind of felt like, and again, this is very presumptuous, and I don't think that you were probably actually thinking this, but we felt very like invasive, like we were kind of like, they thought we were kind of just crazy, silly Americans coming to watch them do sumo wrestling.
I felt like a burden being there, where I was like, I don't want to like interrupt you, like your mojo, you got like, you have your routine. This is like, now we're kind of interrupting your flow of work. Cause like we'd hate it if something like came into our work situation and was like, this is a pain. Or
it's
like,
very, very much like you're in a zoo looking at animals kind of feel. I don't know. It just felt super weird to me after a while.
Especially since there was nobody else in there watching with us. So it wasn't like this was like a
and it was just event. Us and a bunch of camera people.
Yes.
And it was just like weird. So again, that's why I mentioned that it was like way more people. It wasn't just like our 4 or 5 man crew. It was like it was at least two other cameras. Yeah. Like there was a lot more people there. So after a while, we're sitting there and we're watching
and they have like the cameras like in our face. I think they're off to our off to our left, I think.
Yeah,
and they're like they're recording us and there's like another camera crew that's like behind us. And you can go ahead because it's
We're sitting there watching, and then through the like the emergency exit door, in walks Kota Shigeku.
Yeah, it was the reaction in that episode is 100% legit. Some of the stuff in this, so like starstruck at the moment where it was this like, oh my god, especially since like our example here would be like if you saw Tom Brady, but it was like. Athletes in the United States are pretty accessible. I mean, they're not like, I want to go give you a hug close, but like you go to the football game, you're pretty close. You can see them, like, you know, they do signing stuff all the time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For us to meet or to see someone who is our favorite foreign wrestler in another country was crazy.
Yeah. And like, we know the magnitude of, again, like meeting a sumo wrestler is not easy.
Correct.
You know what I mean, it's like, or even just being in the presence of one is
they like so sometimes there's like public events where like you can go and watch practices, but it's like to have that like moment where it was clearly just us.
Yeah, it was for us. Yeah, it wasn't like we were there with some tourist group or something. It was like he was there to like hang out with us in a sense. Like so like,
but yeah, like he came through the back door and like the camera, like I'm so glad they caught that moment because.
That was pure. Like, there's no faking there. There's no force anything.
I just leaned into you and I was like, I think that's Kodo, which is funny because everyone's technically Kodo there, which is stupid to say that. But I think at the moment I was just like, oh my, like, hold on, is that really, really him? Like, he's here in the flesh. Like, this can't be him.
Yep.
And he walks in, and he acknowledges us too.
Yeah, yeah. He went over. He did his. Bowed to the coach on the side and then walked over to us and said hi, and then, we just said hi back, and we're smiling stupid grins on our faces, and
it must have looked so silly. Yeah, because then like afterwards he because we were sitting next to the stable master.
Yeah,
so that's I believe his elder name is Sadagatake after the stable, but former Kota Nowaka, so the son of the current or the father of the current Kota Nowaka was the stable master, and he's sitting next to us to our right. So like, yeah, Kota comes through and like, you know, bows to his coach, comes, acknowledges us, and then goes to the stable master, bows, and then goes to do his own practice. And he starts like squatting.
Actual people.
Like 250 pounds, probably just over the corner squatting. And
probably
like,
more than that. I mean, so yeah.
And we were just like, I think we actually, I don't know about you, but I felt like I was almost more just watching him stretch than watching everyone else who was actually still fighting, because I was just so like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah. I was in the same boat. I was just like, I don't know. I don't often, I don't think of myself as someone who gets like starstruck. You know what I mean?
See, but... I'm not one either. Like that's like I could meet an athlete here and be like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I met him. But like, yeah, I don't know why. I think that was just so, I don't know if it was because we had that high the day before and then the disappointment and it like re-spiked back up. We're like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah. But yeah, so he does some stretching. He gets in the ring. He's doing a little bit of sparring. And then the stable master kind of leans over and he says something to me. And I didn't quite hear him, but like what I could gather was that he was like asking us to get in the ring. Like, do you think you could take these guys?
Yeah.
And I kind of like laugh it off and I'm like, oh, like no way.
Like, yeah. Like, no, no, these guys are like, and for anyone who's listening, who like their workout routine is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Like, we couldn't walk the next day, just for the record.
Yeah.
but yeah. So
yeah, he's like saying, hey, like, you think you can get in there? And
it's like, just, yeah, like wrestle. And I'm like, so I laugh it off and I'm like, oh no, like he's just being funny and nice or whatever. So a few more minutes go by and the director kind of scoots over to us and he's like, I think he's asking if you want to get in there and wrestle, like for real.
Yeah. And so we have like a 10 second, like 10 to 15 second, like panic powwow where we're like, okay,
are we going to do this?
Are we really going to do this? Like, is this the thing we're going to do? And I was like, let's do it.
Yeah. I was like, are you ready? And he's like, yeah.
I didn't know it to the extent of what we were about to do, but I was like, let's do it.
Yep. So
go on.
Yeah. I get the stable master's attention and tell him we'd like to give it a try. And then the whole building goes up in a frenzy.
So once again, we mentioned in the last episode about that switch on and off where they were very professional and then they were very casual. This was professional to even more crazy, like, oh my God, let's turn the switch up to a 10. We're sitting at like a 6. This, we're like, we're going to crank this thing up to a 10. Full blown panic where like the crew was like, okay, so you need to go over there. You need to get this shot. Who's going to, like, what are we going to do? This wasn't planned.
Yeah, they were like rushing us to the back, like, they like, and our translator was female, so we couldn't so she couldn't accompany us to the back to you know, get changed, because obviously we're in like jeans and a t-shirt. And I was thinking, like, you know, they must have, like, you know, even some like tidy whiteys back there or something.
I thought it was going to be something with boxers, some breeze, something.
Yeah. Nope. Stripped down.
Yep, right in front of my brother.
Yep, full on naked.
Yep,
it was in front of me. You're worried about me. I was worried about the 5 random sumo guys that were standing around.
That's true.
Looking at my junk.
Yeah, no, that was I for some reason didn't expect that when we agreed to.
I thought there would be some sort of like thing that they wear under it.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I never researched that part. But yeah, you're totally naked under that thing.
So we just we get into their so dressing room once again with no translator, so like we're trying to understand what they're like trying to direct us to do. Like, we have to, like, they're like, okay, hold, like, they give us 2 mawashis too and they're like, all right, well, these are yours, like, this is what you're about to wear.
So 2 of the more junior guys, I would imagine,
three of them
start wrapping us up in mawashis. Getting it into the groin area there and tying it off and everything.
I feel like I can still feel it. Like, it's just,
it's not very comfortable.
I think some of the ones that they actually wear, they're like made of better material. Cause this was just like,
This was like cloth. This was like sandpaper.
Yeah. This was like, clearly you practice and you like abuse these ones.
Yeah. And it was brand new.
Yes. These were these aren't broken in.
Yeah. It was not comfortable at all. Eventually, you know, we get suited up, or suited down, as it were.
Yep.
And we have a very nice we've been talking about who it was, and we believe
one of the 3 we thought was Koto Sato. Who at the time I think he was down in like Jonidan, but I believe he's currently up in Sadanme.
Yeah.
So,
but
but like yeah. he one of them guided us out there, and like he was like hand holding us almost through the entire experience along yeah. with Kota Shigeyuku at this point.
Yeah, and like, you know, we're going through a series of squats.
We bow to the stable master, so that's like right. already like yeah. can't believe this is happening. Like they're yeah. bringing us like through their routine. Like you walk out, you bow to the stable master, then you just jump right into practice.
Yeah, and so we're doing like the shuffle along the floor thing, and, yep. and you know we're learning from you know Kota Sato, but like Kota Shigeyuku comes over. And, you know, starts giving us some pointers on what we're doing wrong, what we can adjust.
The leg lift, which is yeah. super hard. I couldn't yeah, do it.
I couldn't get it. Like, I don't know. Yep. But it's all way harder when you're actually trying to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going through the routine, and that was pretty much where I thought it was going to end.
Yeah. Like, I was exhausted. Like, I was, like that was
Andy hard. Andy was ready to throw up.
well, I was getting ready to throw up because of what happened next.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It was like, because it was, we had waters and stuff there, and like, yeah. so we were kind of staying hydrated. It was in February, so it was like an okay temperature in there. It wasn't yeah, too it wasn't hot. Too they had like bad. Some heaters going, but it was like a good temperature. But just like, I wasn't expecting to travel to Japan to then work out extreme, like an extreme workout. So yeah, I was getting pretty sweaty, but like, it felt kind of good. Yeah. Until this next part.
So I thought at one point too, I told you, if you throw up, I'm going to hit you.
you know, that sounds accurate, where you're like, don't blow this opportunity. Like, you can do this, like, hold it together.
So yeah, we run through the exercises, and then,
and we did that for,
it was like, it felt way longer than it probably actually was.
Might have been like a half an hour.
Yeah. Probably about a half hour. Yeah. yeah. But it felt longer.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So we the ring kind of clears out, and Kota Shigeyuku walks in, and then offers for us to spar with him.
Yep.
So
you go first.
Yeah. So I offer to go first, and I will tell you what. Pushing a 450-pound man, if he's about 400 pounds, is not easy. And there's a technique to it, and I'm not good at that technique.
The funny thing is, I think they showed us beforehand. So he's 383 pounds. So he's about, yeah, right around 400.
Yeah.
And before, I think they were showing us just like, I didn't expect them to have us actually do it, but they kind of showed us how to like make contact, because there is a yeah. right and a wrong way to do it. And mm-hmm. so I think you got the firsthand, like I saw what you did, and they kind of taught you the right way.
Yeah.
My first time, I went the complete wrong way. I went head first, which they don't recommend, because it's going to crush your spine. Like, it's like hitting a solid object. It's yeah. like, I don't know how to move him. You know, he's the professional. He's just going to stop me the minute I attempt yeah. anything.
Oh, yeah. And that's exactly what he did. He just stood there, and we were
yes.
pushing and doing literally nothing. And then when he wanted to, he pushed me back across the ring.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so, it's like, oh, you're a professional athlete. I'm a schmuck.
Yep. So we get in there, and like, I go, like I said, I go head first into his chest, and he doesn't move an inch.
Yep.
And so I think we end up like, we end up finishing that bout, and then he brings you back in. And at that point, I was like, I might black out.
Yeah,
that's like, I was exhausted, and I was like, I actually fully like exhausted myself. And in the video, the episode makes it seem very slow.
Oh yeah, I look terrible.
I look terrible too.
Trying so hard.
I felt like I was a train, just like I'm gonna hit my as much weight, because like, I'm not a small guy either.
Yeah, yeah. So like, we're both like two in the 200 range there. Yeah. Like, we would.
Yeah, we're like, tall in the 200 range. Like, I thought like my mass going into him might, I was hoping for an inch when I made contact with him. I was like, if I could just give him an inch, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
And he didn't move.
No.
So yeah, you went back in. I was going to black out. I was like, I can't go back in for a second time. But the second I saw you go back in, I was like, you know what? I'm going to suck it up, and I'm going to get back in the ring. So So you had your second match. Yep. And he got him out.
Yeah, he gave up and let me push him out. And then yeah. he let you push him out your one too.
And like, I laughed, and I think when we mentioned earlier that we felt like a burden, I think mm-hmm. once we got into the ring in the beginning, I think yeah. that's when everyone kind of started to accept us, where they're like, I can't believe these guys are doing it. This is
yeah.
crazy. Like,
yeah, when we put on the mawashi and walked out there, mm-hmm. I think that's when a lot of the attitudes, like, they were never treating us poorly at all, ever.
Yes.
They were all awesome the entire time we were there. But, like, mm-hmm. I think that brought it to, like, an actual level of respect.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like, because, like, when we were done, like, everyone clapped for us and we
it was like they were laughing, we were having, you know, like, a good time,
and... like, yeah, like, they realized we weren't just like some crazy, you know, Americans attending a zoo event again, yeah. to use the term earlier, like, we actually legitimately like sumo, and yeah. it was like, I don't know, it was something crazy I thought I would never do, and I'm sure they thought we'd never do it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, so we get through this, yeah. and then we get through. I have my second bout. Yeah, they finished like cleaning up the ring. They try to tell us to say something, and I forget the phrase now. Yeah. But it was like go chendes or something like that. And I was just like, I'm so exhausted right now. I was
so tired and just in camera shock. And yeah, just
it, like I think when Kotoshigiki, he was like breaking down the phrase of it. And then when we tried to put it all together, I think our brain was just mush, and we were tired that.
No, I was there. Yeah, I was phrase, just overwhelmed.
The phrase was essentially like an exit. You go up to like the stable master, and it's like, I didn't know if it was like a thank you for like letting us do this, or like it was like a respect kind of thing is what we were trying to get after.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't say it. And like they laughed, and the episode shows that like we were just fried.
Yeah. Yeah. So at that point, I pretty much assumed we were done.
Yeah.
But turns out we weren't. So we go back, and of course, after a sumo match and practicing, you gotta take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
So the back of the stable, there's just a couple of milk crates that you sit your butt down on and take your mawashi off and take a shower.
Yep.
So there's three stalls there. There's no dividers. Stall's not the right word. It's just three shower heads.
Yeah.
And we sit down, and they toss us some rags, and we start cleaning up. And one of the wrestlers walks over, and he's like, "No, you got to do it like sumo." And he gets one of the other guys to come over. Yeah. And I get my back washed by.
Yep. We both did.
by a sumo wrestler.
Yep. By the lower ranked Rikishi.
Yeah,
which I was not expecting, but yeah, they were like, "No, we're gonna do it like full fledged. Like this is what we do for like our most senior. Like this is what they would do for Kotoshigiku. Like they'd sit him down, give him like a scrub bath, and then."
And sure enough, who pulls up?
Yep,
third stall in Kotoshigiku.
Yep, pulls up, sits next to us. Now we're all naked,
and we're all just sitting there showering
together. And then I was like, you know, this couldn't get any weirder. And then they have a little, so you walk in, it's three stalls on the, or three shower heads on the right side. And then the back left corner, there's a small little tub.
Yep.
We get in that tub, butt ass naked. And once again, we have no translator.
Yeah. 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 Again, we have no translator.
So we can't communicate with them. We don't know what's going on. Camera crew's back there with us, full-fledged shots. They get everything.
Yep.
Obviously the episode blocks it all out, but so now I'm in the tub with my brother and then Kotoshigiku gets in, and we take a photo together in there. There's a video.
The director does speak a little bit of English, probably more than he gives himself credit for, once again. Yeah,
I think he says like good, like he's like, yeah, like having a good time, like essentially, and we're like, yeah, this is good, this is a good time.
Yeah. We talked to Kotoshigiku a little bit, talk again, very loose term.
Yeah.
Basically whatever the director can kind of relay to us, we relay back to what he can relay. So that goes on for a little bit. And then we we get out. It's time for lunch, apparently.
Yeah, so we have no idea what time it is.
Yeah,
but they're like, oh, we're gonna have a
it's important note here.
Yeah, so we think I feel like we've been here for like 5 or 6 hours. Like, you know, we got up pretty early in the morning, we arrived relatively early, but we're thinking it's got to be like 1. I'm thinking early afternoon at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we get in, we have like, they have kimonos for us.
Yep. So we get the, we get some kimonos on.
Yeah. We, nice.
They're super comfy. We still have them.
Yep. Yeah. That was one of the parting gifts that they gave us.
So we go out there and, we sit down at a very nice table, surrounded by, everyone who's there, every yep. member of the stable, the camera crew, our translator, obviously. Kotoshiki, who takes a seat to our left, and two ladies sit to our right.
Yep.
We actually learn the reason why we're there.
Yeah, so we, it's a chunko.
Chunkonabe is usually Chunkonabe,
yeah. Yeah. So the meal, for those who don't know, the meal that we sat down and had with Kotoshikiku is typically something that he would do by himself or senior members of the stable would eat. And then it slowly makes its way down the ranks where like the lower rank guys would cook for, you know, your Sekitori, and then everyone else would eat afterwards. So like we sat down and got to eat with him while he was having his lunch.
Yeah. Which is, it's a pretty big deal.
It is. I think it was my understanding. Yep. Yeah. So it was like an absolute honor for us to be able to do that with him. And then we also had the two women to our right, who I think we knew who both of them were after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we sat down, they brought out a ton of food. Kotoshikiku actually ate very moderately, but I think it's because he was still like, you know, it was one early. So I think he knew what time it actually was.
Yeah.
But also because he still needs to maintain like shape. He was still wrestling and everything at the time.
Yeah.
And we decide to ask for beer.
Yeah, that was, well, because they were like, what do you want to drink? And I was like, oh, I was like, beer.
And everyone laughed. They were like, why are you laughing?
Yeah,
I was like, don't you have beer with like your lunch?
Yeah.
And it turns out it was like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was like 10 a.m. And I was like asking for beer. Oh.
So like, but like everyone, like that laugh, like it was just so funny because I was like, I don't get it. Why is this funny to ask for beer? But it's just because it was so early.
Yeah. So we sit down, and I'll just say in the beginning here, the food was like amazing. Like it was some of the best food I ever had. And, but you know, again, Kotoshikiku is sitting to our left, and, you know, we talk a little bit, and, we find out that the reason we're actually there isn't anything really to do with, I mean, it's not entirely true. It wasn't because the TV station was doing a particular show on us. Correct. It was because Kotoshikiku had seen our episode where we talked about him and that, like, why we like him and that, you know, we enjoy watching him fight. And his wife had a friend that worked at TV Tokyo, and they arranged for us to come out to meet him.
Because I think he was telling us that he was sitting down. He was just like, and this is what the episode shows. He was like sitting down having dinner or whatever. And then he went to go do laundry. And as he was walking out of the room, he heard his name and he came back, and then he heard like our kind words and like what we were saying about him. And it, like, I'm sure for him, it was such a, like a shock. Cause it was like two American guys that are coming like, oh yeah, no, we love Kotoshikiku. Like, it's his heart, like he fights, like we love an underdog, you know, everything about him, like this is our guy. And so like during our table talk with him, when we were eating and talking with him, he ended up telling us, not that he was, I don't think he was like on the brink of retirement or anything, like I don't want to go that far, but I know he had mentioned that he was like,
because he had just lost his Ozeki rank.
Yeah, it was like within the last couple of bashos that he had lost his Ozeki rank. So he wasn't sure, like, do I want to continue? Do I just kind of want to, like, go out on top? Kind of like what with Guido did, like, when he lost Ozeki, and he was like, I'm just done.
Yeah.
So he wasn't sure what kind of place he was in. Like, do I want to continue to fight and maybe climb my way back up? Or do I just want to, like, retire now? And I don't know if it was, like, retire now, but he was kind of on the fence about what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he told us this, and our reaction was also 100% legit, when we were like, I can't believe our words so far away had such an impact on someone that we've never met before.
Yeah, it's super. I mean, even to this day, I'm still like, what? Like,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense in my brain. But like the fact that you know, we were a fan of somebody and we had any sort of influence on an actual professional athlete's choices in life, was pretty amazing. So, you know, he thanked us for that. And we talked a little bit more about like what he likes to do and like where we're from and like, and things like that, had lunch. Then we were,
and I think that the big thing to point out is like everything that he did was also 100% legit. Like,
yeah, it didn't
this wasn't like Koto Shikiku, like on and off camera. Like, I think this is who he is as a human being. He's a kind hearted, down to earth kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Where,
and we kind of talked about like the on off switch for the camera, and that never happened with him.
Correct.
He was the same person when we were in there. You know, buck ass naked, like with a mawashi wrapped on us, not knowing what we're doing when he was teaching us how to do things. He was the same person when, you know, after the camera was off and he was just talking like to us through the translator a little bit. And, you know, we were just exchanging niceties. He was like the same person.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was nice because it kind of like, I don't know, I felt like we made a good choice. You know what I mean? In terms of like, he could tell he's just a good guy and we could tell that from 6,000 miles away.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, just like by how he wrestles. And
I was going to say, like there's never been a time where I've seen him wrestle where he's like, he's never really hankered before. He's always like, he's never done that extra push that you might get with like Hakuho or like when someone's mad in a bout, they just kind of shove people out the ring. Like there's an extra unnecessary push where it's like the guy's already out. Just let him be. Like Koto's never done that before. And that reflected like in the ring, out of the ring, on camera, off camera. Like he's the same exact person, a very, very kind hearted, down to earth person.
And it's like, you don't expect that from an athlete, you know? It's like, I'm sure it's hard to maintain a level of modesty as an athlete. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
That's professional athlete anyway. So I don't know. It was just super cool. And like, he's such a nice guy and it goes obviously without saying that we were super flattered and just honored to be there. And like hear just from his own mouth, just the kind words. And like our translator had said later that like, you know, she was translating everything she was saying, but like it was really hard for her because all of the nice things he was saying was like making her cry and like,
yeah, because she was also, like we said earlier in the last episode, she's also a fan of him, so like she got to meet him as well, and translating everything was just like, I feel like I'm gonna cry as well.
Yeah, he's again super cool dude. And so we got, so it was Valentine's Day when we were there. So we ended up getting a box of chocolates from his wife. We met his wife.
Actually, we met her twice because met her when we were leaving as well, but we also met her in there when she was, she gave us the chocolates.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like her friend was the one that was sitting, one of the ladies sitting at the end of the table. So like we got to meet her and like her, learn her whole part and getting us out there. And, you know, it's not something everyone gets to do because, as we mentioned in the last episode, it's, you don't get to just film sumo people or, you know, Rikishi. You can't just film Rikishi like and interview them. You have to go through the sumo association.
Yeah, so, I was going to say TV Tokyo jumped through a lot of hoops to get this done.
Yeah, so between Koto Shigiku, the sumo association, and TV Tokyo, they worked something out for us to get there.
Because NHK has the rights to, I don't know if it's like exclusive rights to sumo, but they have at least TV rights. They probably have some kind of like media partnership with them too, where they're pretty exclusive. So I think having TV Tokyo have the chance to do this, it was a big opportunity for like all parties involved to do this. And it was something that they all had to like agree on doing. And maybe there were some limitations on what we could and couldn't do, but I didn't feel like there was really any limitations because we got naked in a tub. so
I don't know where the limitations kick in.
I don't know,
but yeah. And so, you know, he gifted us a bunch of things, a shirt with his signature stretch pose on it, signed by him, the autographed handprint, which the name is escaping both of us at the moment, he gave us was it nori from his from Fukuoka, like the seaweed.
Oh yeah.
He gave us I don't just like a, like the kimonos, obviously, the sandals.
Yeah.
Just like
we got a keychain that had his picture on it. We got
just a plethora, like so many things.
Yeah. And so we got the kimono, as we mentioned too. That was something else that we got.
Yeah. Got but the like, mawashis we wore.
That's the craziest thing I think that we got out of all that, because like that was the last thing that they had brought out to us, mm-hmm. which I felt bad because they had to roll it all off after we had been practicing in it
for yeah.
like an hour.
yeah.
And I was like, oh, I feel bad for you. But they wrapped it up, and these were the ones that we wore, and I still actually have mine displayed on like a little desk right next to me.
Yep. And he signed it right there in front of us.
Yep, signed. And, yeah, signed the mawashi. He signed. So it's they're called tagatas. Is the handprint. I had to look it up because it was bothering the crap out of me. I know it when I need to not know it, and now that I do, yes. But the tagata. Yeah. Yeah, signed that, and then signed the shirt, and just they like the gifts just kept on coming. Yeah. Actually, to the point where we had to buy another suitcase in order to bring everything home.
Yeah, we went to the.
It was the electronic, I forget, it was like one of those huge stores.
It's like, again, the name's escaping me and I should know this, but we went down to Akihabara and one of the big department stores there. Waited in line for a while, actually, to pick up that suitcase.
Yeah, which now, like, thinking about waiting in line now, like, with what's going on, it's crazy.
I know, right?
Yeah, we were, that place was jam-packed and we're like, we need to find a suitcase because we have way too much. Like, and it wasn't, that didn't even include like the stuff that we were already planning on getting from like going to Akihabara and going to video game stores and everything like that. It was like, we don't have place for all this stuff that they gave us that was just so generous.
Yeah. So, yeah. And since then,
well, actually, so that last day, we actually, as we were leaving,
that's true. Yeah.
We the stable master came over and he,
that's right.
he introduced us to another Rikishi. And we were trying to, I think the translator ended up saying that this was Koda Nowaka, who at the time wasn't Koda Nowaka. He was still using his original name before he became Sekitori. So at the time, he was Koto Kamatani, if I'm saying that correct. So the stable master came over and like had a private conversation with us before we left and was like, hey, this is my son, and like showed us the picture of him that was in the entrance and was like, this was me, this is my son, like I want you to meet him. And it's cool because now Koda Nowaka's lower Magashira, he'll be like in the lower single digits now, but it was like cool to meet him because like he's the future of the stable.
Yeah.
Like him and Koda Shoho and like Koda Waiko and Koda Yuki are still there, but like Koda Nowaka is like 21. Like he's going to be relevant for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
If he can stay healthy. But it was cool. Like that was like another like just nice side thing that it's just shows how humble that stable was and everybody involved.
It was also super cool now that I always like have flashes of like leaving because so much was happening at the end too, because we did like our little exit interview and stuff like that, but then they pulled us back in to meet Koda Nowaka essentially. I remember during our talk with him, Koda Shukiku had mentioned like, oh, I'll give you my email address and stuff like that so we can communicate, and he said that while he was on camera, and then like I had kind of assumed that it would be happening shortly after the interview or whatever, or like that there was going to be something happening, but it didn't seem to like happen because there was, you know, it was very frantic. A lot of people running around, a lot of people filming, talking and stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, it's no big deal. Like, not that he was just saying it because it was the camera that was there, but like, it was just like, does this guy actually really want to communicate with us? That'd be silly.
Yeah.
His wife came running out.
Yeah.
From the stable afterwards and said, you know, he was busy getting like dressed to come out and see us, but like,
and
perfect English, and she wanted to make sure that we exchanged email addresses and everything like that. So our translator worked with her, and that's how we communicate with him now.
Mm-hmm. And he came out and he was in like almost, I don't want to say pajamas, but he was in like casual attire.
Yeah.
So it was like, even once again, just shows like his character, like this is who he was, and he was just He came out, he said one final goodbye when we were doing like our exit interview with TV Tokyo, and and it was like just a nice conversation. And I don't even think they ended up recording it. I think it was just something that was just like a private conversation.
Yeah. I don't think once we did our exit interview, that I believe that conversation when he ran out was after the fact.
Yeah.
So he was just out there, like we were just talking and chatting. And it was just super cool. It felt like he was, you know, I mean, and I feel truly that he is like authentic. But if the thought hadn't already been there, then it was definitely reinforced.
Yeah.
At that point.
And I think we kind of talked like he was like this could be like a friendship that lasts a while.
So, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, if we ever go back out, maybe we figure out what's going on. We go through our translator again. If, you know, if she's still obviously still working with Team Tokyo, she should still be.
As far as I know, last
time. Yeah, I mean, we've recently talked to her within the last couple weeks.
I think during
the last boss show, we sent out some, you know, we saw Koto Shigeki on air. We just wanted to hope he was doing well and, you know, transitioning into the new, you know, TV life.
It's again, just the whole experience was super humbling and like, I don't know, it was that kind of stuff, even with my wacky outings or whatever, that kind of stuff doesn't happen in real life. You know what I mean? It's like, that's like Make-A-Wish Foundation kind of stuff, you know?
It's like something that, because even like for Japanese locals to do anything like that is hard, but like we got a chance to do it as foreigners. It blows my mind that we got like, it's still to this day, I expect to wake up and have that all just be a dream. Like that's how surreal it felt at the time, where I was like, I can't believe this is actually happening. And that I actually went through and did all of it, because I'm very much not a center of attention kind of guy at all. But for this, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it because it's crazy. And
So the next day, so they another cool part that I'll mention, they were, again, the generosity of the Japanese people and TV Tokyo. They gave us some spending money, and they were like, yeah, go out, do whatever you want. You know, this is on us. Like, go get some dinner, go buy video games, do whatever you want to. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's just, like, the gifts just came. Like, they until we departed, like, officially, where I think we had one day. Did we have a full day to do whatever? I think the day that we did the recording in the stable, we had most of that day.
We were done there by like noon.
Yeah.
And then we could do whatever we want. And we were talking about going back to Akihabara or going to the arcades or something, but we couldn't even move.
Yeah.
I couldn't move. I think we got half a dozen strong zeros.
Yeah.
Sat in the hotel and went to bed at like 8.
Yeah. Like played Super Nintendo or Super Famicom and just like relax for the rest of the day, because you were like, yeah, we gotta leave tomorrow and retired.
Yeah, and we had a layover in Hong Kong.
Yep.
That was a whole other thing.
Fly an hour west to then.
That was more than that. It was like 3.5-4 hours to get to Hong Kong.
Was it really?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it was a flight.
I thought it was like an hour and a half, but
but it was regardless. There was like a 3-hour layover in Hong Kong too.
Yep.
But I mean, again, free, can't really complain. So the flight from, out of curiosity, Tokyo to Hong Kong, 5.5 hours.
Really?
Jeez. Yeah. So we had a 5.5-hour flight from Tokyo to Hong Kong. Then we had a 3-hour layover in Hong Kong. And then we had a 16.5-hour flight into Boston
straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt, but that's a hell of a traveling day.
Yeah. And either of those trips, my longest flight before was to Florida from Boston. Like, was that like an hour and a half? Something like that.
I think it's like a couple hours.
I don't even know. It was over 10 years ago when last time I flew before this previous trip. So,
I mean, so that's most of the tale.
Yeah.
There's been a follow up. We did a little bit of a during the pandemic, we did a little follow up episode.
That
we filmed on our own.
Yeah. So we sent some shots in, and what they were doing was they were doing a like a follow-up series on the best of why'd you come to Japan. And apparently, from what we can tell, I'd like to have someone actually translate all these videos that we've had, because like we've never had anyone really look at it. And I've done like poor Google translations and imagery and trying to figure out what's going on, but like I'd like a full-fledged
legit
translation of it.
So
I believe we were the number one liked episode. I think that's what the episodes were, is we were the last one to be shown because we were number one. We were the fan liked ones. So
yeah, it's
throwing it out there.
Yeah, just throwing it out there, no big deal. I was also asked to go back for a dating episode.
Shortly
after the filming of the February episode. We were out. I went out for a weekend in April. That's a tale for another time.
Yeah.
But so we got some history with Japanese TV.
Yeah.
And, it's been a ride, and I'm super excited. Like, just again, I think it just reinforces my love for the sport. Mm-hmm. And it's super fun to talk about it. I'm glad we finally were able to do this, and like now we can just point to that this episode in future episodes.
Go back and listen to part 1 and part 2 of episode 13, I think, now.
Yeah. So this one again is running, I think, longer than part 1, so
yeah,
we should probably wrap it up. Unless you got anything else you wanna
No, I think that covers everything. We're always available for questions too, so if there's anything that wasn't covered or you guys want to hear more about, I think we covered pretty much everything, but if any questions come up, feel free to reach out to us. And this is the segue on Twitter, Super Sumo Bros, our website, supersumobrothers.com, or else on Spotify, Google Play, and Google Podcast.
We don't go to Japan every month, obviously, but if you have questions and you're interested in going to Japan or watching sumo or anything like that, feel free to hit us up. We'll do our best to at least point you in the right direction of like where you can get some information. But we've spent, I think, grand total probably about a month and a half there, so
we're no experts, but
we can clearly, I mean, we barely know all the terms in the sport we love, but we will we'll do our best to help you out.
There's a lot of I'll mention this as a whole, the sumo community as a whole is great. Very welcoming, a lot of collaboration happening, lots of Twitter accounts that work on games together. It's a great community, so shout outs for that.
Cool. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you probably in March
and back in Tokyo. 5,000 people a day.
All right, see you, everybody, in March.